Smart. Sexy. Kinky. Fun. Welcome to Sex Out Loud with your host, sex educator, author, and filmmaker, Tristan Taramino. It's sex-positive radio like you've never heard before. Tristan talks about sexuality from every angle with leading authors, experts, artists, and icons. From sex education and sexual politics to BDSM and non-monogamy, nothing is off limits. So get ready to open your mind and expand your horizons. This is Sex Out Loud. And now here's your host, Tristan Taramino.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud, everyone. Hey, it's Friday, March 6th, 2020. And I just want to shout out to all the Elizabeth Warren supporters out there. It's okay to be mad. It's okay to be sad. Probably stay off social media for a while because people aren't being kind or compassionate, especially people who support other candidates. But I voted for Elizabeth Warren, and I have to say I'm really bummed out. I am bummed out that we have two white guys, old white guys, left in the race. And obviously I bleed blue or whatever. I'm going to vote Democratic no matter what. But I really thought she was the best person for the job. I thought she had an amazing plan. I'm bummed. Now I'm off my soapbox. Okay, let's talk about polyamory, shall we? Let me tell you about my guest today. She's been on the show once before, I'm pretty sure, but I recommend her work all the time. Kathy Labriola is a nurse, counselor, and hypnotherapist in private practice in Berkeley, California, providing affordable mental health services to alternative communities, including the poly, kink, LGBTQ communities, and political activists. Kathy is author of three books, Love in Abundance, The Jealousy Workbook, and The Polyamory Breakup Book, which we're going to be talking about tonight. She's been a card-carrying bisexual and polyamorist for 50 years. She's a political activist and community organizer. She is extra crunchy, self-described, lives in a housing cooperative, rides a bike, and raises chickens and organic vegetables. You can find her online at kathylabriola.com. Let me spell that for you. Kathy with a K, Labriola.com. Welcome to the show, Kathy.
Thank you. I am very stoked to be here. And I accept that I am also extremely bummed out because I also voted for Elizabeth Warren.
Okay, thanks. I mean, I just think we should take some time to grieve before we like jump back into like now who we're going to like shift our focus to. I feel like a lot of people have been saying that online. Well, I recommend your book, The Jealousy Workbook, all the time. In fact, I got your permission to use one of your exercises in an intensive 6-hour open relationship class that I teach. I just want to say for people who haven't heard of The Jealousy Workbook, it's, first of all, you don't even have to be non-monogamous. You can be in any kind of relationship. It is so practical. It does not talk about jealousy in these like big abstract, like philosophical ways. Kathy has designed these exercises from her years and years and years and years of counseling practice. And they really help you clarify sort of how jealousy shows up for you, why it shows up, what some underlying issues are. But then there are exercises in there that also just really could clarify what you want out of a relationship, what you value, what your relationship values are. It's just so good. I recommend it all the time. And so I want to put a plug out there because we're going to talk about your other book, Kathy, but I fucking love that book.
Oh, thank you. You're too kind.
So you've got this new book, The Polyamory Breakup Book. And I will say that I was like, oh, is this going to be sad when I read it? And actually, it's not. In fact, someone wrote this on my Instagram as a comment when I posted that I was talking to you today. And she said, hey, you know, I love that book and I recommend it to newbies all the time. Uh-huh. And so we got into a discussion and I said, yeah, you know, I think that's actually really good advice because it's almost like if you figure out like what might happen in the end, you can make some better choices and decisions in the beginning. You know, it's like a prenuptial.
Yeah.
And so in that case, like, it's not really for people who are about to break up, or it's really for everyone who has an open relationship, because there's so many good skills in here.
Thank you.
That's what I think.
Okay, great.
So I love that you open the book and say, oh, hey, everyone, you know, obviously you wrote a book because you think polyamorous people need their own breakup book. But then you say, oh, you know what? About half of all polyamory breakups have nothing to do with polyamory. In other words, there are some common universal things about relationships,
yes,
that are sort of the most frequent reasons people cite for breaking up. And that's the big seven. Let's summarize those.
Well, these are the seven reasons that poly people break up and that monogamous people break up.
Right.
And about half of all poly breakups, as you mentioned, are caused by these seven things. There are four other poly causes of poly breakups, which we'll go into later. The first four of the non-poly breakup causes are what I call real relationship issues: sex, money, domestic issues, and differences in need for autonomy and intimacy. And I'll can talk about each one of those a little bit if you'd like. But there are three other causes that are not really relationship causes, because they don't come out of the relationship. They are caused by one person having a problem and bringing that problem into the relationship. And those are addictions, untreated mental health conditions, and abuse. So those are three things that will definitely destroy your relationship, but they're not relationship problems, because one person has a problem and that is creating chaos and disaster within the relationship, but only that person can solve that problem.
Well, although technically two people could have addictions, two people could have unrelated mental health issues, and two people could be abusive and be in the same relationship, right?
That's certainly true. It certainly does happen.
So sex is at the top of the list. But what I'm curious about is, in the book you say, you know, being polyamorous can actually solve some sex issues between partners. So sometimes sex is a solver, problem solver, and sometimes it's a problem. Is that right?
Well, sometimes the way I would describe it is, sometimes polyamory is a solution to sexual problems.
Mm-hmm.
So polyamory can solve some sexual problems, and the ones that it solves the best are a desire discrepancy, where, you know, one person wants sex more often than the other, or one person's kinky and the other's vanilla, or, you know, one person is bisexual and the other isn't. And you can only, you know, can solve some of these problems by having sex with other people outside of the one relationship you may already have. So some of these sexual problems that people have, the monogamous couples have no way of solving them.
Mm-hmm.
They're not allowed to have sex with anyone else. Obviously they do, but they're not supposed to. They have decided they want to be monogamous, but doesn't mean they actually are in real life. But with polyamory, you have the option of not having to be perfectly sexually compatible with your partner, because you can have sex with other people and get the kind of sex or the amount of sex that you want.
So then that begs the question, if there is so much more flexibility around this in polyamorous relationships, people still break up over sex?
All the time. Yes. It's usually two problems. One is that poly people cheat. And what I mean by that, they break their agreements about sex. It's not that they are cheating in the traditional sense of having sex with someone else, but they break whatever agreements they've made, whether it's agreements about condoms or agreements about, you know, not having sex with my best friend or with someone who's related to me or someone who works with you or something like that. So then that problem will cause people to end up breaking up, because they've broken an agreement that happened to be around sex. And sexual agreements are very, very sensitive and can really cause a total break in the trust that sometimes can't be repaired. The second problem, sexual problem, that causes people to break up is that oftentimes having sex with other people outside of your relationship will then encourage you to believe that you are really completely incompatible with your initial partner, because you're having such great sex with other people outside of the relationship. You will come to believe that you are a lot more compatible with someone else and decide to end the relationship. Sometimes that's the right thing to do. Sometimes that's an accurate assessment of the situation. But oftentimes it's more that you're just having all that exciting honeymoon phase with the new person, and you know, you somehow decide to run away to Tahiti with them forever because you're having all this great sex, but they just may not be the right person for you in the long run. You're just having a great new relationship energy thing happening, and just very passionate.
I mean, that happens to everyone when they start something new with someone. And I think there is that danger of saying, oh, wait, I'm having this amazing sex. This other sex maybe has changed and morphed because I've been with this person for many years, because we live together, whatever. And so in some ways, you kind of have to resist the temptation to then kind of put all your eggs in the second basket, right, sexually, right?
Well, I often hear this from people. And so I really try to encourage people to, you know, wait at least a year to see if the sizzle wears off and whether it just becomes a normal relationship or whether this is like the true love of your life. You need to wait at least a year to know that, whether it's just, you know, a great love affair and it's a lot of fun, but it's going to be over soon, or whether really this person is your soulmate that you think they are. I mean, oftentimes, I advise people that polyamory can probably solve your sexual problems if you are actually having some sex at home, and if you are having some pretty okay, at least okay to good sex at home, because then you're not likely to be comparing it so unfavorably with this other person. But if you're having lots of great sex outside your relationship and very little sex at home, or pretty lackluster, you know, then it maybe you are ready to move on to a new relationship. Maybe you're not happy with this relationship at all.
I mean, one of the great things about this book is that you talk about these, you have a very clear organization style, which I really appreciate. No, I'm not a Virgo, but I love organization. But then sprinkled throughout are these interviews that you've done with real life folks. And so sprinkled throughout this are stories about real people really dealing with some of these issues head on, how they've dealt with it, if they've succeeded, if they've failed, if it's somewhere in between. So that really, I think, illustrates your points really well, and also gives voice to kind of these different people with different styles, different level of experiences, just different lives. Mm-hmm. So I like that about the book a lot. Okay, we got to take our first commercial break. I don't know. That's what Josh tells me, and that's what I do. I want to shout out to my amazing sponsors for this episode. The Pleasure Chest. People, The Pleasure Chest has been supporting this show for so many years. Please give them support and love back at pleasurechest.com. Also, Uber Lube. Uber Lube sent me 2 cases of lube. I'll finish those off in a month or so. Just kidding. I like Uber Lube because it's very few ingredients. And then mygirlfund.com. I tell you all about it in the commercial on the break, but I want you to listen because this is a safe place to do online sex and intimate exchanges. Okay, stay with us. More with Kathy Labriola when we get back. Spring is on the way, and the Pleasure Chest is ready to help you get sprung. On March 8th, celebrate International Women's Day and get the women in your life a gift. You know, sex toys keep on giving. So what about the LaWand limited edition Feel My Power vibrator, or the popular Womanizer Duo, or the WeVibe Chorus? From March 8th to the 15th, save 10% on all orders $100 and up. Online only, some exclusions apply. On March 22nd, LaWand presents Pleasure Confessional at the West Hollywood store. Step into the confessional booth and tell us your story of empowerment in or outside the bedroom.
win prizes, and enjoy exclusive discounts on the empowering Luand line. There are free sex ed classes throughout the month on everything from strap-ons to Transsex 101, including my class on March 21st, How to Plan a Gangbang at the Upper East Side store in New York City. As always, get great pleasure tips on their Instagram at Pleasure Chest Stores and go to pleasurechest.com for everything you need to celebrate spring. I'm sure you follow at least one porn star Instagram account that's been deleted with no explanation. YouTube and Facebook are censoring content, and dating apps are full of bots. It's becoming more and more difficult for people to connect, especially intimately online. MyGirlFund.com allows members to form virtual relationships with amazing women. MyGirlFund.com, you can meet, message, share photos and videos, and cam with women in private. Listen, if you know me, you know that two of my biggest passions are people experiencing pleasure in diverse, shame-free ways, and folks getting paid fairly for their labor. It's really difficult for women to get paid for virtual adult work without risking personal exposure. Many women are willing to do dirty chat or share nude content for money, but safe and discreet platforms are rare. MyGirlFund allows its female members to control their exposure. They connect with who they want to connect with, control how they want to interact, and decide what they charge for these interactions. MyGirlFund has been around since 2009, providing space for people to have the intimate interactions that they want. Sign up at MyGirlFund.com/Tristan and get ready to meet and make connections in a safe, private, adult community.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com. You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at puckerup.com. That's Tristan at puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. Hey, if you want to call us live and talk to Kathy and I, ask your questions about polyamory or polyamorous breakups, maybe share a story about your own polyamorous breakup, we'd love to hear from you. If you're listening live, you can call. Oh my gosh, I was just going to read you the not listening live phone number. I'm so sorry. Okay, if you're not listening live, you can call 323-SEX-8266, 323-SEX-8266. If you are listening live, gosh, I don't know where my brain is today. If you are listening live, you can call 866-472-5788. 866-472-5788. We're back with Kathy Labriola, counselor, nurse, hypnotherapist, polyamory expert, talking about her newest book, The Polyamory Breakup Book. So one thing that I found super useful, I read a lot of books about relationships, maybe too many. And often things begin to repeat, right? Concepts begin to repeat. But you have this thing that you talk about in the first part of your book called the autonomy intimacy scale. And I found that fascinating and also very, very useful for thinking about my own relationships. And also, like, if I move on the scale with a certain person. So can you explain this, what it is?
Yes. You know how psychologists and therapists are always talking about this attachment theory and how you're, you know, anxious attachment or avoidant attachment and all of that nonsense. That never made all that much sense to me. It seemed too simplistic. And I mean, nobody is, you know, so simple in terms of how what their attachment style is. So I thought of this idea of a scale of 0 to 10 of how much autonomy you need and independence from a relationship and how much togetherness and intimacy you need in terms of a relationship. And each person has their own kind of perfect comfort zone where they're getting enough companionship and attention and connection and intimacy with a partner, and yet getting enough alone time, enough differentiation and independence from a partner. And I've envisioned the scale as like on the zero end of the scale is like a monk who wants to live in a cave and have a vow of silence and never talk to anyone or see anyone. At the other end of the scale, at the 10 end of the scale, are people that are like want to have that 24/7 joined at the hip couple relationship where they like never spend a moment apart. Most people are not at either end. And my experience is that anyone who's between a 2 and an 8 can have a healthy, happy relationship, whether polyamorous or monogamous. But a 2 cannot mate with an 8 because if you're too far apart on the scale, you'll be locked in mortal combat for life. And the person who's on the lower end of the scale will be saying, Jesus Christ, I need some space. You know, how can I miss you if you won't go away? And the person who's up at the 8 will be saying, oh, I need more and more of your time and you're not giving me enough and I'm so lonely and I'm just feeling so deprived and I miss you all the time and I just want more of you. So, you know, you have that kind of constant really struggle for a power struggle for control of how much intimacy is going to be happening in the relationship, how much togetherness, and how much you get to have a life of your own outside of the relationship.
And I also thought, you know, in relationships, I feel like my number has shifted.
Yes.
Like I've definitely been towards the 10 and then I've definitely overcorrected towards the 0 for sure. After the 10, you overcorrect and you go towards the 0.
Well, I think what often happens, it's interesting because a polyamory can solve some of this, but it can't solve it 100%. What's interesting is that someone, if you're in a relationship with someone who is not giving you enough time and attention for your needs, and then you decide to go outside the relationship and have another relationship to meet some of those needs for closeness and intimacy and companionship, then you may get like overburdened where you've got two people both asking you for attention and it's too much for you, even if you are an 8, you know. Mm-hmm. Or as you say, you can overcorrect in either direction and it's hard to get just the right balance. Because you have people in your life that want the same thing as you do, or the combination of those people in your life is giving you just the right amount, but not demanding too much of you.
Right. So it's interesting to sort of self-examine and say like, where am I on this scale in this relationship? And could some of the incompatibilities have to do with the level I want of autonomy versus the level I want of closeness, intimacy? I just think it's a great concept. Okay. So one topic that came up on social media, here's a question. What do you think about the idea of closure when it comes to ending relationships? People were commenting that polyamorous people seem to talk about this concept a lot more often in their processing conversations. But is the idea of closure misguided and a myth? Is it a real thing?
Well, you'll have to tell me what you mean by closure, because it really could mean a lot of different things to different people. Do you mean just having some?
We're going to have to guess because it was on the social media, so I can't ask a person.
Well, I think if what they're asking is about like having some kind of debriefing and, you know, really like just talking through what caused the breakup and, you know, having a kind of kumbaya moment of everybody being happy about it, I don't think that's always possible. If that's what they mean by closure, because in most breakups, one person at least is going to be extremely unhappy about it and not want it to happen, and the other person is deciding to break up with them. So I don't know how you really could get closure. I think it's possible that what the person is asking is, or what they're talking about, is that how poly people, the poly world is a small world, and you're going to run into your exes usually in the poly world, because it is such a small place. And so, particularly if you're involved in like poly groups and events and, you know, parties and things like that. So there is at least some necessity to have some agreement or idea of like, how are we going to relate to each other because we live in this small world where we're going to keep running into each other. And we probably have a lot of friends in common, and we even probably have exes in common or other metamors in common.
Yeah, I definitely know a couple, and they were polyamorous, who had like three sessions with a couples counselor that were breakup sessions. They broke up with a couples counselor. They knew they were breaking up. They agreed to break up, but they needed to get some stuff off their chest and have some kind of, air out some feelings, get some clarification. So they actually broke up with a therapist. But they hadn't been seeing that therapist before, which is really interesting.
Oh, they didn't go until they were actually already.
No, they didn't go until they broke up. And then they actually weren't in couples counseling. And then they decided to break up. And then they were like, let's have some sessions so we do this, you know, ethically, and that it, it will promote a future relationship or friendship. Right. Yeah. I mean, that's part of what happens in the breakup, you know, kind of predicts often then what the future relationship is or isn't if it doesn't exist.
Yeah. I mean, certainly if you both have the intention of remaining friends, it certainly makes sense to, whether with a therapist or just on your own as two people, you know, sit down and try to talk about what your future friendship or relationship is going to look like and how you want to, relate to other people who might still be within this poly constellation. I mean, one of the problems I sometimes see is that, you know, a couple breaks up, but they have metamors that have become friends. Like if you and your partner split up, one of your metamors might have developed a close friendship with your partner.
Mm-hmm.
If the two of you are breaking up, how does that person continue to relate to them? And you know, how are they allowed to stay friends with each other, even though they no longer have you as their lover in common?
Mm-hmm. I want to just define metamor for anyone who doesn't know out there. The metamor is the name for the partner of your partner, right? So if my husband also has a girlfriend, the girlfriend is my metamor. We're not physically, sexually, emotionally involved in any kind of committed or romantic relationship. But say in this case, Kathy's example, we've become friends and then my husband breaks up with his girlfriend, but I still want to be friends with his girlfriend.
Yeah, that can create a lot of problems. Kind of the downside of compersion, you know, where you develop an attachment to your partner.
To your partner's partner, and then you're like, wait, what? You're doing what? No, I like them.
I mean, they're breaking up with you at the same time, really, if they're just going to be out of your partner's life. But yeah, it can be hard to sustain those friendships when the other person is no longer in the picture.
Okay, we've got to take another break. Let me give you the phone number again, folks. If you have a question about polyamorous breakups or want to talk to Kathy Labriola, you can do so live right now. You can call us at 866-472-5787, 866-472-5787. Now, you can also, if you're on social media, you can tweet us, you can comment on my Facebook post about this, you can comment on my Instagram post about this. Do it wherever you want. Coming up, we are going to talk about the second section of the book, which is polyamorous causes for polyamory breakups. So stay with us. More with Kathy when we get back. Hi, everyone. Tristan here. Hey, lube makes everything better. Duh. And I mean everything. Vaginal and anal penetration, hand jobs, hand sex, masturbation, fingering, grinding, oral sex. You name it, lube will improve it. When you're choosing a lube, you want one with high quality ingredients. UberLube is silicone with a little vitamin E. That's it. No parabens, no petrochemicals, no strange things you can't pronounce. I have a very sensitive pussy, and that is not a metaphor. It's easily irritated, and plenty of lubes I've tried just do not agree with me. I like UberLube because it's scent-free, flavorless, simple ingredients, and long-lasting. Plus, it's got a pump, which is easy to use and hygienic because you're not always touching the top of it.
Oh, and it will not stain clothing or bedding. Any spills can be cleaned up with detergent and water. Right now, UberLube is offering Sex Out Loud listeners a special offer. 10% off and free shipping when you use my code Tristan at uberlube.com. That's 10% off and free shipping. Just use code Tristan at UberLube, UberLube.com. UberLube lets you feel what you want to feel.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at puckerup.com. That's Tristan at puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. We are talking today with Kathy Labriola, the author of the book, The Polyamory Breakup Book, Causes, Prevention, and Survival. And that's from Thorn Tree Press. You can get that wherever you buy your books. Maybe you can support an independent store along the way. There's also a foreword by Dossie Easton, who's the co-author of the classic polyamory text, The Ethical Slut. So, Kathy, in your book, you say that there are, in fact, things that cause polyamory breakups that are very specific to polyamory that don't also happen to monogamous couples. And you tell us about four. One, falling in love with a monogamous person. Two, picking partners who want different models of open relationships. Three, poor management of time and energy. And four, jealousy. So let's hit number one, falling in love with a monogamous person. We've all been there.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I have not really met any poly people that have not done this at least once. Most people have... I learned their lesson the first time because it's so painful. I think many of us have had the delusion that we could convert someone who is inherently monogamous to being polyamorous, that we could convince them of the joys and wonders of polyamory and that they will convert to the cause. But some people do seem to be monogamous just by nature. It seems to be their sexual or relational orientation. And for some people, it's just as fixed as being straight or gay is for some people. The confusing part of it is that there are a lot of people that are in between that are what I would call the bisexuals of the polymonogamy spectrum.
The biogamous. It's the monomonogamous, non-monogamous, and the bigamous. It's the bigamous.
Yeah, I don't know what the right term is.
But, okay.
But there are definitely a lot of people out there that can be happily monogamous in some relationships throughout their lives and happily polyamorous in other relationships or at other developmental stages of their lives. Like for some people, when they're young in their 20s and 30s, they're like polyamorous as heck, you know, but then they want to settle down and raise kids and they decide they want to be monogamous and it works for them. You know, for some people, that's how it is. Some people have the opposite trajectory in that they are, you know, totally monogamous with someone through their 20s and 30s, and then they end up breaking up or getting divorced, and then they decide they want to try being polyamorous, and it works great for them too. So, you know, it's really hard to, it's easy to say, oh, just don't fall in love with a monogamist, but it's hard to know who they are. If someone absolutely knows they're monogamous and they tell you that, then yeah, you got to be out of your mind to get involved with them if you're, you know, a poly slut like me. But if a lot of people either don't know that they're inherently monogamous or they, you know, are not sure, or they may not be. They just really haven't really tried it. So some people have never tried polyamory, and when they do, they discover that it works for them and they like it. Other people have never tried it, and they try it, and it's like they're so miserable, and it just is a disaster for them.
Yeah, so there is gray area. And then what about the mono-poly style of relationship, where in fact you meet and fall in love with a monogamous person, and that monogamous person says, okay, but you're non-monogamous, but we can make this work. That's also still valid.
I mean, it usually doesn't work. I mean, if someone if someone is really monogamous by nature, then sexual and romantic exclusivity is necessary in their universe for them to feel fundamentally safe and loved and respected. But if you're talking about someone who just is not like innately monogamous, but just feels like being monogamous right now and is happy being monogamous in this particular relationship, is that what you're talking about?
I mean, certainly I know couples who where one partner's monogamous and the other one's polyamorous. My experience is that the monogamous person sort of understands and respects and believes in non-monogamy, but says, I don't choose it right now or ever. Mm-hmm. And they still manage to make it work. But I know that there's controversy there. Like there are other educators. One teaches a class called like How to Date Your Species. So he would say like, you're dating outside your species if you do that. So I was just wondering what your thoughts are about the mono-poly combination.
Yeah, I've never seen it work because the person who is really monogamous by nature is going to be unhappy. I certainly have seen couples where one person just doesn't happen to be meeting people they want to date and just it's not all that important to them mm-hmm. to date other people, or they're just really focused on their career right now, or, you know, there's other reasons why they're not getting involved with other people. And I'm not saying that if you're polyamorous, you have to always be in more than one relationship. You don't. But if I guess I'm just confused about whether you're talking about people that really are monogamous by nature or people that just happen to be monogamous sort of situationally.
Mm. Okay. Well, the second thing you say, the second cause you list is picking partners who want different models of open relationships. Mm-hmm. I think this is a big one, right? Notion that two people meet and say, let's be open. And that's all they say. One says, let's be open. And the other one says, great, we're open. And then there's no more discussion. And actually, it turns out they want very different things. And open means different things to different people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think oftentimes people are just so thrilled to meet other people that are poly because they've been dating monogamous people and that didn't work. They're like, oh, great, I'm poly, you're poly. Oh, wow, yeah, let's fall in love. But there's a lot more to it than that. It's that in the cases where I see these incompatible models, almost always there's in this poly constitution that wants a primary relationship, and that is not available right now in this situation they're in. For instance, they're in a relationship with a person who's married and who is in the primary secondary model, where the spouse at home is primary and anyone else outside of that is going to be less prioritized and considered secondary to the primary. And so that person who was in that so-called secondary relationship wants a primary relationship, but that's not available in this model that they're in. Or often I see that there's a situation where one person is claiming that they are doing relationship anarchy, and so they're not really looking for any primary relationship, but someone who's involved with them wants a primary relationship. So almost always when there's a mismatched model problem, it's that one person wants a primary relationship, but they can't get it in this particular scenario they're in.
And you also talk about poor management of time and energy. Certainly all the people I interviewed for my book listed this as like one of the number one challenges of being non-monogamous is time management and energy, because love is infinite, but the day is only 24 hours long. Mm-hmm. So you're going to make the radical argument, I'm going to spoil it for people, that you might have to abandon spontaneity.
Yes.
Tell me.
Well, I think a lot of people it seems like in a way a contradiction in polyamory, that we think of polyamory as we're going to have these all these wild love affairs and it's going to be so crazy and fun. But it really does require a lot of careful thought and planning and organization of your time and energy and planning ahead so that you actually have time for these wonderful love affairs. So if you try to be spontaneous, it just means that no one's going to be available.
Right. Because of the way that we live now. Right.
Or it means you're, you know, asking your partners to like put their life on hold and just wait for your phone call. And, you know, that to me is just too much, way too much. Like, you know, the woman sitting by the phone hoping the boyfriend will call, you know, it just doesn't work.
No, no. And then you talk about jealousy. I talk about jealousy in my book. You have a whole book on jealousy. But you talk about how jealousy can actually be a precursor to a breakup. Tell me about that. Tell me about the ways that that can happen.
Well, in all four of these causes of poly breakups, I mean, jealousy is a factor. But in the first three, the falling in love with a monogamous, the falling in love with someone who wants a different poly model, or the poor time and energy management, those are going to cause jealousy, but jealousy is a symptom of a much deeper incompatibility mm-hmm. in relationship. Whereas when I talk about jealousy being the cause, that means you're doing everything right. You know, you fell in love with someone who's not a monogamous. You fell in love with someone who wants the same model of poly as you do. You got good time and energy management, but you're still someone, you or one of your partners, is experiencing such intense jealousy that it destroys the relationship.
I mean, this is intense, and I think you make really good points about just how both we are wired as human beings, especially in the more primitive part of our brains, to not share or to, I'm going to use a term from dog training, resource guard, guard our resources, not want to share them. And then our culture encourages jealousy. We see it modeled for us everywhere in the media. And so we sort of have this double thing. We've got our brain working in these primitive ways. And then we've also got music, theater, movies, TV commercials, songs, right? About how jealousy is equated with true love, and true commitment and true intimacy. So it is hard to unpack and kind of unlearn. And that's, of course, I really recommend the Jealousy Workbook. Okay, we got to take another break. I'm going to let you give me your thoughts on that when we get back. Want to give you the phone number one last time, people. You've only got like 15 minutes left. 866-472-5787. 866-472-5787. More about polyamorous breakups in a minute.
Spring is on the way, and the Pleasure Chest is ready to help you get sprung. On March 8th, celebrate International Women's Day and get the women in your life a gift. You know, sex toys keep on giving. So what about the LaWand limited edition Feel My Power vibrator, or the popular Womanizer Duo, or the WeVibe Chorus? From March 8th to the 15th, save 10% on all orders $100 and up. Online only, some exclusions apply. On March 22nd, LaWand presents Pleasure Confessional at the West Hollywood store. Step into the confessional booth and tell us your story of empowerment in or outside the bedroom. Win prizes and enjoy exclusive discounts on the empowering LaWand line. There are free sex ed classes throughout the month on everything from strap-ons to transsex 101, including my class on March 21st. How to Plan a Gangbang at the Upper East Side store in New York City. As always, get great pleasure tips on their Instagram at Pleasure Chest Stores and go to pleasurechest.com for everything you need to celebrate spring.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan@puckerup.com. That's Tristan@puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. I'm talking today with nurse, counselor, hypnotherapist, and author of the book, The Jealousy Workbook, and the Polyamory Breakup Book, plus a third book, Love in Abundance, Kathy Labriola. Before the break, we were talking about time management and jealousy. Kathy, you wanted to back up and address another time management issue.
Well, I just wanted to mention that it's unfortunately often a kind of a poly newbie problem, in that, you know, you're kind of like a kid in a candy store when, you know, suddenly you have all these opportunities to have relationships with all these people, and you just don't think too far ahead about how you're going to fit this all into your schedule and actually go to work 8 hours a day and raise children and, you know, all the other things you're
right.
doing.
Right. Having five girlfriends is actually much harder than it sounds.
Yes, it sure is. It sure is. And I think I often would recommend to people that if you're considering taking on a new partner, even if it's going to be relatively casual, think about how you're going to manage that. Can you fit it in even if life doesn't go perfectly?
Mm-hmm.
Might be able to fit that new partner into your life, you know, on a good week, you know, when you're well rested and no crises are occurring. But, you know, what if, you know, someone in your family gets sick and you need to help take care of them? Or what if, you know, you have a deadline coming up at work and you have to work more hours? So then that person is just going to get pushed off the schedule. So you're not doing anyone a favor if you get involved with them and then you're never really available to them, or you constantly let them down. So you have to really think carefully about that. It's hard when you've got a crush on someone and you're not really thinking about the practicalities.
I think I saw a meme online that went something like, you know, all of adulthood is you saying, well, things are about to calm down and then it'll be much less stressful around here. Right? And it's just, you keep repeating that over and over and over again, but it really never does calm down because that's your life.
Never happens. Yeah.
So one of the chapters in your book is called, the next question I'm going to ask you, why are polyamorous breakups so excruciatingly painful?
Well, I think there's a number of reasons. One is that we bring some of our monogamous indoctrination or upbringing or training into a poly relationship. So we somehow think, like monogamous people do, that, oh, if we get involved with someone, we should never break up. And we're not. And so if we break up, we're a failure, or the relationship is a failure. And I think it's particularly a ridiculous attitude or belief to bring into a polyamorous relationship, because if you're going to have numerous relationships, some of them are going to break up. I mean, and is it even really desirable to, like, anyone you sleep with, you're going to have to stay with them for the rest of your life? I don't think so. I don't think that's a great idea. And it's just not possible, nor is it even desirable. So I think we just have to change our attitude about thinking that longevity and a relationship lasting forever is the only yardstick of its success or failure. And I think one of the great things about being polyamorous is that you can get involved in relationships with people that aren't like 100% compatible with you, because you're not marrying them. You don't have to stay with them for life. You can have great, wonderful love affairs with people that are maybe not going to really ever be life partner material for you, and you are eventually going to break up, but you don't have to judge that as a failure. You had a great relationship. So we have to come up with other ways of deciding how we feel about the success or failure of a particular relationship. And then the second thing is, because polyamorous relationships are not supported in our society, when you're going through a poly breakup, everyone wants to blame it on polyamory, and everybody wants to gloat and tell you how you deserved it because you shouldn't have even been doing that in the first place. Of course you broke up because that poly thing never could work.
I mean, I totally had this experience where I was with my partner for many, 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 many years. Then we got married because it was legal to get gay married. And so we got married and someone actually said to me at my reception, so now that you're actually like married, which is just a legal document, piece of paper, you're going to stop with all this open relationship stuff, right? And I thought, oh my God, do you know me at all? No.
Oh, wow. That's funny that they were at your wedding and they didn't know you.
I know. But I think, again, I think that it's sort of hardwired. It's like programmed into us, right? That this is what marriage means and that marriage is somehow going to nullify the relationship style, right? It's because everything is so mononormative and so much about monogamy. People can't sort of think outside of that, really. Right. And I do feel like this longevity thing, it absolutely is the yardstick. It is the gold standard by which we judge relationships. It is hard to let that go. I have trouble letting that go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think it just, we have to have a different way of looking at relationships, or we probably have no business being poly in the first place. But I think there's so much hostility around us. And I think a lot of people are just waiting for us to break up so they can, you know, tell us we had it coming, you know, or so they can be vindicated and say, see, I was right about this poly thing. It would never work. And oftentimes people have a completely delusional idea of why you broke up. I mean, they just will absolutely make up things.
People like to sort of have a story, right? And the story needs to make sense to everyone. It needs to be neat. And so people tell themselves stories.
And I've had so many clients who have been just distraught that, you know, as soon as the word about the breakup happening got out, they started getting calls and emails and people tweeting to, you know, and everything about with totally incorrect stories about what happened, and that they're coming at it from a monogamous point of view. So they figure there must have been a homewrecker, or there must have been a villain in this story, or, you know, somebody did this, and it's not even remotely close to what happened. So one of the trends I've noticed in the last few years is people, when they're going through a breakup, actually trying to get out ahead of that and dealing with this sort of public relations aspect of a breakup, a poly breakup, by either sending an email to the people that are closest to them, like a joint email saying, this is what's happening and here's how we're handling it. Please be supportive and, you know, caring. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so kind of giving the facts as much as you feel comfortable giving to people, so that they can't go off with these totally bizarre ideas of things that are not even true at all.
Well, I think, but that's another piece that you touched on that's so true, is the villain. Mm-hmm. People want a bad guy and they want a good guy. And, you know, I tended to think that like my circle was quite evolved and they're all like kinky and poly and queer and, you know, they're breaking all these barriers and they're smashing the gender binary. And then with my biggest breakup, people really wanted to just classify one person as good and one person as bad. And there was like no gray area for a lot of people, a lot of smart people. It actually shocked me. So I think that also looking for the villain is a trope that we have to get out of, right? We have to get out of it. We have to say relationships are really complicated. I wasn't in this one, so I can't possibly know like what went down and what, you know, made it end. So maybe I'm going to like keep my mouth shut.
Or maybe I'm going to talk to the person and ask them what's going
on. What happened? Right.
Feel comfortable sharing it with me and how can I support you through this? I mean, I think if two people, even if they're, you know, angry at each other right now because they're going through a breakup, if they can come up with something, a joint statement of some kind that they can both agree on and either send it to people or have a friend call your closest friends and explain the situation, you're kind of able to get people in the right frame of mind to hopefully be supportive of you and not be just wanting to come up with some kind of who's the villain here and how can I trash them on social media?
Which is the way of the people now. Okay, so I want to remind everyone, the book is The Polyamory Breakup Book, Causes, Prevention, and Survival. It's by Kathy Labriola, who is at kathylabriola.com. And thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you. It's been a lot of fun.
Hey, I want to tell everyone that there are big changes coming to Sex Out Loud. What's that you say, Tristan? Maybe new music? Well, there will be new opening music and credits, but it's going to go beyond that. We've got big things in the works. So I just want to tell you, keep an eye out for my social media. Subscribe to my newsletter. I want you to know what's going on, and I don't want you to miss a single episode. So that in that little teaser, I want to thank executive producer Karen Dana, senior producer Raymond Johnson, announcer Cooper Beckett. Josh is my engineer today. Everyone at Voice America, tune in next Friday, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern for another edition of the show. Until then, take some time to talk about sex and relationships and even breakups out loud.
That's a wrap on today's show. Go to voiceamerica.com to listen to this and other episodes on demand or as podcasts. And make sure you come back next Friday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific for Sex Out Loud with Tristan Taramino on Voice America Variety.